Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Where's Scott?
Good morning, Vietnam!
Rise and shining. Wakey, waking.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
And you.
Robert Scott Bell. You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Today, health insurance reform is the law of the land.
The health care law was supposed to keep medical costs down, but a new report says your payments are expected to jump.
I think I made a mistake.
Robert Scott Bell.
A coalition of public health advocates targeting Ronald McDonald.
I'd love to see Ronald McDonald retired. Let's kill him off like we did Joe Camel.
Robert Scott Bell.
Side effects may include depressed mood,
thoughts of suicide,
insomnia,
suicide may occur,
diarrhea,
unusual or strange dreams, agitation,
sexual side effects,
drowsiness, dizziness,
and nausea,
hostility,
trouble sleeping,
seizures,
serious skin reactions,
thoughts of suicide,
risk of suicide may occur.
Oh yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Even compliant parents now are doubting vaccine safety. And this is a theme of today's Robert Scott Bell Show, as we've got a blockbuster series of breaking news stories on the air today. Tim Boland from Boland Report will be up first. Then we'll have Norma Erickson from SaneVac. So we're going to be talking about not only the HPV vaccine, but in fact all vaccines, and the fact that the CDC knows and has known since the beginning about the danger of those shots. Now, a new study finding 28% of parents following the CDC recommended schedule for childhood vaccinations think it would be safer to delay the shot until children are older. Well, that's a step in the right direction. But there are only 2% of all parents living in the United States that are refusing all vaccines for their children. That tells you how many super smart parents there are. 2% of all parents. And I'm laying it out thick today because the CDC should know better. They do know better. More than 1 in 10 alters the CDC recommended vaccine schedule, which is basically done for cows. There is no individualization of treatment in regards to the CDC's recommendations. Among parents following an alternative vaccine schedule, 30% actually began with the regular schedule but changed their minds partway in. Dr. Amanda Dempsey, one of the study authors, was surprised by the malleability of the people's attitudes. She says this, "In my own clinical practice, I have been used to parents firmly deciding one way or another what they wanted to do. Now, parents are refusing certain vaccines at higher rates than others, particularly the H1N1, that seasonal flu is now topping the rejection list. That's a good sign. But the MMR is another big one. They're probably going to end up blaming Andrew Wakefield for that one. They blame him for every... Oh, yeah, here it is. In Europe, the measles outbreak has been far worse than the U.S., where thousands of confirmed cases correlating with a decline in vaccination rates sparked by Dr. Andrew Wakefield's 1998, they say, fraudulent study, alleging a connection between MMR and autism. It was not a fraudulent study. They're lying. How do you know when the old media is lying? They've written down words. And, of course, they carry on here, and they admit something that we're going to get into momentarily with Tim Boland. And this is just talking about the MMR shot. What public health officials, remember the official stories? They're there to protect the officials. Remember this? What public health officials do know is that about 1 in 6 children will experience a fever. Now, that 1 in 6 number is going to come up again. I know that because I've read the article. I've got it linked at Boland Report, where we're going to go next. The 1 in 6 figure, remember this. And they say 1 in 3,000 will have a seizure after receiving the MMR vaccine. That's according to the NIH. But, hey, no worries. Severe side effects are extremely rare. And of course, if it happens to your child, sorry, your child's the rare one. And that's not good enough for me. It shouldn't be good enough for anybody. But you can always report it to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS. Regarding her research into parents' malleable attitudes on vaccines, this woman, Dempsey, said figuring out what is swaying parents away from the recommended schedule is important and something her research cannot yet answer. Well, I'll tell you what it is, Dempsey. It's that parents are waking up to the idiocracy involved in accepting blindly the CDC vaccine schedule, which is not based on science, but is based on economics and politics. These vaccines, one day we will look back and wonder, how did we ever get duped into believing the lies that have brought more chronic and autoimmune disease, cancer, and other things to the children of planet Earth than anything before? Infectious disease has got nothing on the chronic disease creation machinery of the vaccine industrial complex. We've got more on that today. Also, we'll have some more on the AIDS issue, some really shocking claims by African researchers about birth control actually doubling the amount of HIV on the African continent. We will share with you how racism is rampant in the medical industry, particularly in the pharmaceutical industrial complex and the academicians that they fund, and how that plays out in real world drugging for racial reasons. Shocking stuff on tap today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. 866-939-BELL, robertscottbell.com, all the links, naturalnewsradio.com. Enter your email address there and get updated every day. Coming right back with more powerful healing than anywhere else in media. Thanks for being here.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
In the health world through the power of radio, it's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
In our ongoing coverage of vaccines and the danger, as well as the cover-ups from government regulators, from the Fear and Death Administration and the CDC, some of you who are new to the Robert Scott Bell Show might think that that stands for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, as they say, add the P in there. But in fact, we know it as the Centers for Disease Creation and Promotion. My guest right now joining me is learning that the hard way. Actually, he's known it, but now he's an evidence-based guy, and he's uncovering this over a number of years.
and it's really, really refining itself to the point where at least a 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5-part series revealing what the CDC actually knew about the dangers of vaccines, the mercury, the thimerosal. This may be, just may be, the thing that brings down that evil organization within the government pharmaceutical complex. I'm going to welcome back to the show right now, Tim Bolin, live from the Bolin Report.
Well, good afternoon, Robert. How are you today?
Well, you know, wherever people are listening around planet Earth, and they are listening from all hemispheres, from all quadrants, the reality is the CDC has impacted policies of governments far flung from the United States. And those policies may have been built upon lies, foundations of corruption. And what we're seeing with the vaccine industry and their corruption within government, you're revealing it ever more clearly.
Well, thank you. I see you read my article today, and it just came out. So, Robert, you're right on top of it.
We need to jump on these things immediately and get them out around the world. This is also, again, I have it linked up at robertscottbell.com. Very important what you've run through. Now, I've covered the fact that one of the Kennedys, was it Bobby Kennedy? Who was which Kennedy was chiming in on the mercury thing a while back?
Bobby Kennedy Jr. Came out on it several years ago, I think 2006. He was part of my research, and I read his work, his comments on it, and he had some things to say about the CDC and the what I call the vaccine construction.
Yes.
Which I think I ought to explain when I say the vaccine construction.
Sure.
I have to back up a little bit, if you don't mind.
Please.
The pharmaceutical industry is in serious financial straits 2011, 2012, because most of their major patents run out. And they've tried for some time to find something to hold them up once those patents are gone, and they won't be able to advertise much on television anymore. If you notice, television advertising, say, 3-4 years ago, was the news hour was about 55% drugs. It's not anymore, and it's tapering off, because what good is it to advertise a drug which you lost your patent on, and the doctor and the insurance company will only pay for the generic, even if you do get the message out?
Well, exactly. Well, they're not benevolent in their advertising expenditures. I mean,
to say the least. Well, I like that, because there's a good chance we'll be able to get back our news hour from the pharmaceutical industry controlling exactly what we hear. But what that means is that they're looking in the investment world at some significant cutbacks in their income. In order to do that, they came up with a number of plans, things. For instance, these designer drugs like Viagra,
yes,
and Cialis and stuff like that, there's only so much appeal for that, and the appeal's worn off, and that didn't replace the mainstay drugs.
Yeah, I wondered, with as much of the erectile dysfunction drugs that they were putting out there, I thought if planet Earth start losing its orbit, just, like I said, everything's being dumped into the water, it will help it remain in orbit.
Exactly. There were a lot of problems with those kinds of things, and it didn't meet the needs of the industry to generate massive amounts of income. And they need massive amounts of income for the intense lobbying effort that they put in our Congress and our states and everywhere else, protecting the drug industry. And that just the stuff they need to take doctors to Hawaii and Buenos Aires and all the detail people that they hire to serve that need. It's considerable expenses. They paid a good profit, but those days were coming to an end. And what I was looking for is, what were they going to try and replace that with? And I had written an article about that on my BolinReport.com. Anybody who wants to go to the front page of that will see little excerpts from the articles that are all there. I think I've got about 800, but they're all in, according to time. But what's important is that they tried a couple of things with the designer drugs and the orphan, what they call orphan drugs. They tried to
make new uses out of old drugs, basically, to repatent them for new uses and then gain that, patent protection, exclusive monopoly use, and the profits come back in again.
Exactly. But that did a little bit. But, in other words, they could get $1,000 a month for something that should be on the shelf for about $12 a month. But because they're using it prescribing it for something, they call it slightly different, and they can, you know, command a lot of money on an orphan drug, blah, blah, blah. It's all about money. That really didn't pan out. And then the other one they were drug industry was really into was DNA manipulation type situations, and that's not panning out like they thought it would. So I make the joke, all the mice are dying from that operation.
Right.
And then the other financial interest the drug industry had was, frankly, embryonic stem cells. And that met opposition from the Christian community, particularly the Catholic Church, and then, of course, from the Bush administration. And frankly, embryonic stem cell therapies couldn't die fast enough, as far as I'm concerned. Scientifically, they were crap.
Well, yes, and Tim, you and I have covered this right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show about the fact that you didn't even need embryonic stem cells to be successful in utilizing therapy like that.
That's correct. Adult stem cells, things are coming to the fore right now. They're far cheaper and they're far more effective. And there's no dangers like they are in embryonic. It's, you know, with the slightest care, they're perfectly safe. And they're coming to the fore right now, and they're getting the funding they ought to get. Well, the reason that there was a focus on embryonic is because they could take an embryo and focus it towards something and then patent that. So, yeah, they could give you stem cells that would repair your heart. As long as you got $250,000, they could do it. Well, you know how that was going to go. Yes, they could fix your shoulder. You know, all you need is $100,000. Well, that's the drug company's idea. You know, with adult stem cell therapies, you can do that, and you will be able to do that for a fraction of the cost, maybe 10% of what they were talking about, maybe less.
Yes.
So their income stream is not there. You know, so what they did is they turned to vaccines as the next big moneymaker.
Yeah, that was the focal point. Suddenly, it's like the next they were flouting vaccines for everything, ear infections. I mean, anything you can imagine, now there was going to be a vaccine for it.
Exactly. And why do they want to do that? There are a number of reasons. First of all, they have no liability because of the vaccine court. The U.S. Congress years ago, with the childhood vaccines, gave the drug companies immunity, and anybody who was supposedly injured by a vaccine had to go through this drug court. I mean, through a vaccine court, which is, I'm going to be doing an article about it. It's a total sham.
Yeah. We call it a kangaroo court, of course.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. We call it the vaccine kangaroo court, and there's no constitutional authority to create a court that was even supreme to the Supreme Court.
That's right. And what they did was they set up 75 cents off of the cost of every vaccine and go to this vaccine court to pay for injuries. It'd come right out, and the purchaser would pay that 75 cents. So the drug companies had no liability, no expense for that court whatsoever. It was really a good deal.
Yeah.
So you think about what happened. The whole thing was a big scam perpetrated by what I call the vaccine construction. Then, more than that, more things happened. They also do not need a sales force for vaccines. They're going to use our public health facilities in the states and local and the schools.
Right.
Become the sales force for the drug industry, enforcing and mandating as much as they can all these different vaccines. So that's the replacement for the fact that the patents are running out.
Yeah, people thought I was exaggerating when years ago I said the CDC is, you know, the marketing arm of the vaccine industry. And in fact, they have been. And what you're, you know, finding out and proving is, in fact, that is the case.
More than that, Robert, the CDC itself has a financial interest in it. They own part of it. They're developing part of it. They had patents. The people that work there, it's all intertwined. It's a horrible scandal we're going to break. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse for them.
Well, as we're moving through, again, this is only part one of the expose here that we're letting loose on today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We're talking with Tim Bolen, and he also has the Bolen Report. I've got the link, BOLENReport.com. And then the part one is definitely linked up at the blog today at robertscottbell.com. We've covered many stories over the years together, including the attack on Mark and David Geyer, two really good people, good scientists, doctors as well. But this builds upon that. Now the acknowledgement here is that, in fact, they knew of the dangers of the vaccines, of the mercury, of the thimerosal, and they've been stonewalling those who have been trying to get via Freedom of Information Act request, FOIA request, and that's something we need to continue on in our discussion after this break. Can you stay with me for a little while longer, Tim?
You bet.
World-breaking news here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Thanks to my good friend Tim Boland from BolandReport.com. We've got lots more healing to go. Remember, naturalnewsradio.com. If you haven't entered your email address there, please do so. You'll get your daily updates with all the great links as well to the news and how to see through it. And, of course, 866-939-BELL. If you'd like to be part of the program, 866-939-2355. Coming back with Tim Boland on the Robert Scott Bell Show after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind. And yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com. And you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Alrighty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
More world-breaking news, and it is breaking all over planet Earth here, thanks to my good friend Tim Boland. The CDC has known all along how dangerous vaccines are and has covered it up. This is part one. Tim, thanks for being with me again today.
I enjoy being on your show all the time, Robert, and thanks for covering my newest article, which frankly just came out a few hours ago.
And by the way, the gals from SaneVax really admire you. They read all of your stuff.
Good. I read all of their stuff, too. This vaccine thing, I think all of us, Robert, that are in a position here to reach other people have pretty much agreed that this is an issue which we need to cover. It is just, this cannot continue. It's the damage that's happening here. When people go to read my article, they'll get the details of how bad the situation actually is. Because in the article, I pointed out some very hard data about how important this is. In roughly 1998, the CDC knew, and they decided to cover it up. And then they went out over time and created these five fake studies proving that, allegedly proving that the Marisol was harmless, blah, 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 blah. We know, certainly know better, and they knew better. And in the series, five-part series I'm doing on this, I'm going to talk all about the details. And I broke it up into five articles because it's frankly just too much information to digest at one time. And when you see what I said in this, if people are going to read it. It's a simple read for the first one, and it will be for all of them. When the CDC did this, as I pointed out in my article, when they covered this up, 104 million children are born every year on planet Earth, 4 million in the U.S. and Canada, where we supposedly removed thimerosal mercury from vaccines. 4 million in the U.S. and 100 million in the rest of the world, subject to the vaccine schedule. Well, I had to extrapolate the numbers because in the U.S. and Canada, we do keep track, and there's a few countries in Europe that do keep track, but for the most part, most countries that are in the vaccine program don't keep track of the reactions. You know, some of them are poorer countries, developing countries. They don't really do that. So what I did was to extrapolate the numbers because when I started looking at it, I took the populations and I did the percentages because 1 in 110 children in the United States are coming down with autism, or were during that period when we had complete mercury in the vaccines and so-called preservatives. Thimerosal is a mercury product. When that occurred, huge numbers of people were coming down with autism, 1 in 110 children. Actually, 1 in 66 boys and 1 in 140 girls. Affected boys, a lot more. Well, I took those numbers and I extrapolated them over the 104 million people in the world, and I gave you the numbers.
Yes.
That means that in the world, this is what happened in the rest of the world. That's a shocking number. I think the total for the world for autism alone from 1998 to the present comes out to be about 11.8 million children were affected and became autistic, once you extrapolate. Bobby Kennedy Jr., and I'm an admirer of the Kennedy family, I'm a Republican, but so what? These people have dedicated their lives to America, and I hold them in high regard. Bobby Kennedy did a piece on this, and I read it, and one thing he said was that 1 in 6 children develop neurological problems, speech issues, whatever.
Yeah, that a much broader net, 1 in 6, was a shockingly high number. I remember reading that and saying, where did he get that number? 1 in 6, that's not small fry potatoes.
And this is since the increased vaccine schedule happened. It didn't happen before that. Now, the CDC says, we don't know. Well, of course they know. But the neurological issues, that 1 in 6, when you do a little math from high school, you find out that 1 in 6 translates to 16.7%. So when you take 16.7% of 104 million children over that period, you come up with 252 million or something like that. I'm not looking at the article. Children worldwide would have developed neurological issues from vaccines.
You were talking about a number, 104 million children born every year times 13 years. That's where this number came to 1.3 billion born worldwide between 1998 and 2011. So 1 in 6 translated, as you said, 16.7%. We get out of that 1.3 billion, 225 million, over 225 million children, potentially, according to that 1 in 6 number.
That's right. That's two-thirds of the population of the United States
diagnosed with a developmental disorder and or behavioral problem.
Right. In the 1 in 6, that's various problems that they have. But in other words, the 252 million children born during this period are not going to be 100%. They're not. They're going to have workforce issues. They're going to have forever. They're going to be, and at the upper end of the scale, they're going to be a load on society. When you get all the way to autism at the upper end of the scale, 1 in 110, with the 11.8 million, all of those children, whatever country they're in, are going to be a load on the country. their parents are going to have to take care of those children until the parents die. Then who's going to take care of them?
Well, we already have such a burden, an absolute burden on our society. I mean, the economies of scale are failing all over planet Earth here. And the burden of having medical costs and adults that are children that are damaged this way, incapable of really taking care of themselves, it is a ghastly consideration.
You know, it's worse than that. The stories that I'm doing about this and the information that I have over the next, you know, the total of five series, it's going to be like, oh, my gosh, oh, my. People just aren't going to, find it acceptable. I quote sources. I know what I'm talking about. This is a major social issue. Ann Dackel from Age of Autism, that group, she talks about this all the time, and I talk to her on the phone regularly. It's just not. In fact, she'd be a good interview for you, Robert.
Sure.
She knows this material, and our society will not be able to handle this. We're an aging population. We need those children, our children, to be in the workforce.
Right.
Supporting our Social Security, supporting us in our old age, not the other way around.
Well, listen, the basis for the bankruptcy of Medicare and Medicaid is based on the people that are already up there and those about to go into that needing it. Not, they didn't consider a whole generation of children growing up and being incapable from childhood of caring for themselves when they become adults.
That's right. It's worse than that. I had mentioned in an earlier article about this. Autism is spectacularly bad. But there are other things, you know, the neurological damage. It's a matter of scale. Some of the things are worse than the others. Sometimes speech defects, but the mind is okay. Sometimes gait issues where they walk funny. But when it gets worse, you get ADD, ADHD, and you get constant asthma where, you know, life is significantly limited from this. Frankly, we've got to dump our vaccine program. Dump it.
Mm-hmm.
There are no testing. The liability isn't there. And the government agencies aren't responsible. Nobody's responsible. Nobody pays. The parents are liable. And you know what they tell the parents? Well, you and your husband were defective. That's why this child had this reaction to a perfectly good vaccine. You just have to take the bad with the good. You know, you were defective. They actually tell them that. It's your fault for having children. Oh, my. And they do tell that to people. And they say to them, well, we can put the child into a structured environment. We can put them into a,
They're basically going to institutionalize children. And you know the abuse that goes on in these institutions? Medically,
I did a story on that about Texas, talking about how these children become sexual tools.
Yeah, no, it's horrific. It's the worst of humanity here. And as I've talked about for years about the vaccine, the entire vaccine paradigm is without basis because the whole artificial stimulation of antibodies is not even sufficient to protect you from these so-called childhood diseases. But it gets, you know, the corruption goes up and up and up, and that they blame the parents. Of course, they say, well, it's your genes. It can't be the vaccines. Your child is defective because of you two that had these children. Now, the uprising that is happening, we're seeing protests all over economically and otherwise. If people were to wake up and see, and some have, of course, we talk about the warrior moms and the warrior dads now that have vaccine damaged children, and there's still only a fraction of the parents that have awoken. I mean, you want to talk about pitchforks? These people will not be able to run and hide on planet Pluto that's no longer a planet anymore when they realize how bad this is.
It is bad. I, frankly, with my article and the way I'm developing this, I am not going to allow an agency to say, well, it was the agency, and walk away. I'm not like that.
No.
I looked at the agency and I say, what employees were involved in this?
Yes.
Because here's a strange way of thinking. We, the people, created the FDA and the CDC. And when we set those organizations in place, we had the best of intentions. If something is going wrong with that agency and they're not working according to their mission statement, there's only one answer. It's got to be rogue employees abusing the system that we set up. And when you have that, I'm talking grand jury investigation. This
yes.
is what I want. We need, for this issue, prison, if not the death penalty.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Remember when they executed the head of the FDA in China?
Yep.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of Chinese communism, but listen, if you're responsible for the deaths of hundreds of thousands to millions and the dismemberment or disability of millions and millions of children all over planet Earth, there is not a place in hell that is even bad enough for you, in my opinion.
I agree with that, and it's time that we, the people, you know, started insisting on these sorts of things. We just cannot tolerate this kind of behavior. Well, what the article is really about is Brian Hooker, the fellow, the PhD, he's a biochemist, who heard all this nonsense, started to look into it, and I'll be doing more about that tomorrow and the next day in my articles.
Yes.
And they'll be up there for anybody who wants to if anybody wants to sign up for my newsletter, it's free. You get it to you. You get a little teaser article. You can go read it at your convenience so they can follow it. Right? And, of course, I'll be back here to do another one because you'll definitely want me after the two.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, no. The door is open for you, Tim. You know it.
Yep, thank you. But what I'm talking about is what Brian Hooker did, but being a biochemist, he understands how studies are supposed to be working. So he took the studies, and he looked at them, and he said, wait a minute, these are not scientific. The studies themselves don't meet basic scientific criteria. These are not studies, they're propaganda. And he attacked it on that viewpoint. So then when he got blown off by some asking the CDC what was going on, he came back and said, great, let me see your backup data. Let me see the actual data you're working from. And I don't want to see the summary of the study. I want to see the whole thing, and I want to see your data. Now, and they said, no, we won't show that to you. And he said, I don't think you understand the law. The law says you will. I mean, FOIA is FOIA, F-O-I-A. You will. Well, the business of the public is the business of the public. You said these things. Show me where you got all this. Well, when he started looking at it, he found out for sure that the data that was there showed the opposite. And most of these studies are fake, and then they would study a study, and it's just horrible. And they knew it. And, of course, as I pointed out, the first study they did, the Danish study, is that guy that you've been reading about in a paper, his name is Thorsen.
Yes.
He is being indicted in the U.S. For fraud, blah, 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 blah. And they got issues against him in Denmark. He's under investigation there. And the whole thing is growing. So, in other words, you can take that study and throw it out.
Yeah.
You could take from the first.
Well, the corruption from bottom to top. And, of course, there are a lot of so-called innocent victims, but there are a lot of people that are still buying in, and I call it a cult, honestly, Tim. It's not science. It's a cult, this vaccine worship, the sacrament, the sacrifice. The children are sacrificed at the altar of this mystical science that they claim is so wonderful, yet we're finding out every day more and more about how horrific and unscientific it is.
I absolutely agree with that. This is the worst possible thing that the drug industry has ever done. And they did it with the help of a government agency, several different government agencies have been created to manipulate vaccines. They're all involved in this, and it's time to see heads roll.
It is.
They're causing major damage. Listen, I got to make one statement that an attorney friend of mine said to me. He said, Tim, children are a nation's best asset. And we're damaging our children?
Yeah.
They're our finest asset. I mean, not just a family, but for a nation.
Tim, not only that, but we've been damaging our soldiers from the Gulf War illness as well due to the vaccines and such. So it's seemingly there's a discarding of the human life. And the Department of Health and Human Services, which you actually list their so-called mission statement, you know, in order to help and support and to protect, and they do absolutely the opposite. And that's why whenever I say the government approves something as safe, run the other way and do what they say is unsafe, and you'll probably be much better off.
I agree with that. Somebody sent me an interesting video the other day, Robert. I'm of the Vietnam era and a little before that. I was actually in the Cuban blockade, and I did an article about that, about Bobby Kennedy Jr., because the commander-in-chief, when I was in the Navy and on the blockade, I was there when the destroyer fired the shot across the bow of the Russian tanker. That's how old I am.
Yeah.
Well, in the Vietnam era, You know, I want to talk about this. People say, look, what can we do? Electing somebody else, electing another party. I mean, let's just look at I'm a Republican. Let's look at the people that are running in the Republican Party. I want to spit on Rick Perry.
Yep.
Get real. I mean, don't put that.
No, we've covered that. We're all in agreement here on the Robert Scott Bell Show about that guy in Gardasil's back pocket.
Yeah, and I when I look at that, what's that other guy, Romney, saying corporations are their people?
Yeah, corporations are people. That's right. And Goldman Sachs is primary contributor. The only one I've interviewed over the years who's been for freedom to say no, to not opt out, but to opt in. I mean, literally to say, get the government out of medicine altogether and let the people heal. Yeah. And that's, of course, another doctor, a physician, congressman, and Dr. Ron Paul. Listen, Tim, we're out of time here today. We're going to be following up almost every day here with you with this thing coming out, you know.
I laugh about this, but I laugh because it's so uncomfortable. It's like dark humor, like cop stuff.
Yeah.
This is an amazing issue. And as I said, I hesitate to be the messenger, but
no.
You know what? Somebody's got to tell the story, and by God, I'll do it.
We got to do it, Tim, and we might get a lot of you every day. You're going to hear from Robert Scott Bell on this one. When we come back, Norma Erickson, the president of SaneVax, is going to join me with some breaking news about the Gardasil shot. They're attacking the researcher who found that the aluminum was bound to the HPV DNA, and we're going to hear what the FDA is saying and denying that there's any problem whatsoever. Big surprise. Thank you, Tim Boland. We'll be right back with more powerful healing after this.
If you're looking for FDA-approved radio, you're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool. There you can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
Bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
There's more breaking news on the story of the human papillomavirus vaccine, the Merck vaccine. We call that Gardasil. Of course, we've covered the Cervarix version of it. They call it Cervarix, and it's from GSK. But, of course, all the controversy stemming from the Republican debates with Michelle Bachmann and Ron Paul questioning Rick Perry on this has really elevated awareness. We've talked about the Democrats in the California Congress trying to promote this mandatory vaccine for girls as young as 12 without parental consent. This story just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Now we learn the scientist who worked with, was contracted by, I believe, SaneVax, and we'll confirm this in a moment. Dr. Sinhong Lee is now being, let's say, I don't know, how would I say this, persecuted. There's attacks against this guy because he actually dared to find something out that nobody wanted him to reveal. To get the backstory on this, Norma Erickson, president of SaneVax, joins me right now on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Norma, welcome back.
Robert, thank you for having me back. This is such an incredible story. I appreciate your efforts to get the truth out.
Well, absolutely. I've covered scientists and even reporters out in the field over the years that literally were like the Boy Scouts. I'm doing my job. This is what I went into this for. I'm a scientist. I want to find out the facts. These are the things I find. And the moment you do that, suddenly you find your very credibility attacked, your job attacked, you are personally attacked. And in this case, Dr. Sinhong Lee, with hospital privileges that he's had for a long time, suddenly finds them denied and other things to limit his access to the lab. And this happened evidently shortly after he aligned himself with SaneVax.
Yes, it did, Robert. So the story is absolutely unbelievable. If we had not experienced it ourselves, we wouldn't believe it. Dr. Lee was originally contacted by SaneVax because I was looking up patent information on HPV vaccines. And I had done a lot of research. I was well aware of the fact that there had been studies submitted to the FDA indicating that if a woman was previously exposed to vaccine-relevant HPV genotypes, that she actually could increase her risk of cancer. And then accidentally, I ran across this patent for an HPV genotyping method. And absolutely, I thought this was wonderful. It's the perfect thing for these medical consumers. If that test is available, they can tell whether they've been exposed to HPV before they decide whether the vaccine is right for them.
Well, in other words, let me just play it down in plain English for people. This genotyping would definitively be able to tell you if, in fact, the form of the HPV came from the vaccine itself or whether there might have been some other exposure.
Well, the theory was, when I originally contacted Dr. Lee, was to find out if they had been exposed to HPV 16, 18, 11, or, one, off the top of my head, I forgot the fourth strain.
Yeah, the numbers that they designate that are supposedly prevented by the so-called, Gardasil shot, because they say there are many, but these are the four we got.
Yes, exactly. So the theory was, if we could rule out the people that had already been exposed to 16 and 18 before they decided, then they wouldn't run the risk of the higher risk of precancerous lesions by taking the vaccine.
Right, which is stunning already to acknowledge that you see an increase in precancerous lesions after the vaccine is administered.
Absolutely. And for whatever reason, the study was doctored.
How do you mean by that, doctored?
What they did, apparently, and this is our opinion, is take out those individuals that were in the study that indicated prior exposure increased your cancer risk. They took out the people that had additional risk factors in their lives. They took out the people that smoked. They took out the people that had taken oral contraceptives for a long time. They took out the people who had multiple sex partners and whatever they needed to do to get the statistics down to a level where the FDA would accept the risk factor.
Despite the fact that most of the people that wanted the benefit were likely living a lifestyle that was more risky anyway. So how would that be helpful in the long run? As you said, doctored now in such a way that the FDA say, okay, that risk seems to be low. And at that point, now we give you approval. So they really did skew it in favor of approval, even though the risk was very real.
It looks that way, yes. It seriously looks that way.
Well, this isn't science, of course. This is economics at play here, and this is playing fast and loose with the facts. And, of course, we find that a lot of studies are corrupted in this way because, not just millions or hundreds of millions, sometimes billions of dollars are at stake here. And so they are willing to risk lives just to get these things to market.
And it's fairly apparent that that's the case in this particular instance.
So in the case of Dr. Lee, was he shocked by suddenly being denied hospital privileges? I mean, was this a surprise to him?
Oh, absolutely. He has established. He's practiced in this field for over 50 years. He has an impeccable reputation. No one questions his ethics, morals, or anything else. He was floored.
Mm. And this is the doctor, as I want everybody to know, that found, that really found the fact that the human papillomavirus, the HPV DNA, was bound into the aluminum adjuvant in the Gardasil shot, so to speak. And this was the shocking thing that's literally shocking the planet, as regulatory agencies around the world are sitting up taking notice and go, wait, they said there wasn't anything like that in the shot. Of course, the FDA may not be acting, although since you have published this, the FDA has been all over your website, including the makers of Gardasil, Merck and others, are visiting Sanevax regularly saying, hey, what the heck's going on here?
Exactly. And that's another piece of information that we have now. The FDA has indeed responded, and we are formulating our formal response to as a rebuttal to their, and I have to go with my opinion again.
Yes.
In my opinion, their response was, pat the little women on the head and tell them everything's okay. There were no scientific references. There was no documentation. It was, we still feel this vaccine is safe and necessary. And effective.
We still feel that it is. Isn't that interesting? The feelings of the FDA, and they're not referencing their own science in this regard.
Yes, it's quite amazing to me. When we send a letter to them, we document all of our scientific evidence and cite whatever references we're using.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get a response back, it's, we're the authorities, don't worry about it, we've got it under control.
Well, the official story is there to protect the officials, and the authorities don't like it when they're challenged by anybody not in the club. In fact, they don't like to be challenged within the club, but if they do, they control it to such a degree that, you know, people like Dr. Lee, if they were on the inside of this, they would have been warned to stop before they started. And in this case, Dr. Lee was the Boy Scout here, the good guy that just said, hey, I'm in it for science. I want to find this stuff out. And, you know, I tell the story about my interviews with Gary Matsumoto, who was the reporter, I believe, with ABC all those years ago. And he wrote the book Vaccine A, all about the anthrax vaccine and the squalene adjuvant and what it was doing in terms of the Gulf War illness. And he was a very good reporter. And he simply reported what he found, wrote a book about it, and thought he would be rewarded for it, as you would when you do good work. Instead, he was ostracized and blackballed from his profession for finding out something that he wasn't allowed to find out.
Yes. It's not the first time it's happened.
No.
But hopefully, medical consumers around the world can make it the last time.
Yes, that's what we want to see. And I see that in this release. And by the way, I've got this linked all the way up at robertscadbell.com. Those of you on Facebook, you've already seen it if you're a friend of mine already. But here in this release from Sanevax, and we're talking with Norma Erickson, the president of Sanevax, there's a way that you can join to show support for Dr. Lee and his ability to continue this much-needed research. And you can actually send your letters of support, if you will, for Dr. Lee, to Dr. Joe Palacia, I believe it is, president and CEO of the Milford Medical Hospital, where Dr. Lee had hospital privileges. He still, while it's under review, he still has privileges there. Also, Commissioner Jewel Mellon, Connecticut Department of Public Health, and Mr. George Jepson, Attorney General, State of Connecticut. Why is the Attorney General involved here? Maybe you can give us some background. Are there legal ramifications of all of these things?
Absolutely. Having battled this for almost a year, Dr. Lee and his legal counsel decided to take it to a higher authority. They have filed suit with the Connecticut Department of Health and the Attorney General of the State of Connecticut to demand action in this matter.
And at this point, have you had a response from them?
We have had several email responses from George Jepson, the Attorney General of the State of Connecticut, expressing his concern. He indicated that if Dr. Lee is right, the court should be the most expedient remedy for his difficulties currently.
Okay.
Pretty much left it at that, which is, we respect that. He answered us and he replied very quickly, not unlike some other agencies that we've been dealing with.
Like the Fear and Death Administration, as I call them.
Yes. It took them almost 3 weeks to respond. And when they did respond, they sent it via regular mail. It took a week to get to the Sanevax headquarters. We're just dealing with it from there.
Well, I hope that you can publish their response sometime soon. I'd love to see it as well. Are there any other regulatory agencies? I heard that there were around the world that contacted you in a much more, let's say, quick fashion.
The European Medical Agency, who is responsible for the oversight of this through 27 countries in Europe, requested that the product license holder for Gardasil in Europe perform an immediate risk assessment.
Okay, so they actually took this very seriously, unlike the FDA, which says, we still feel, we have feelings, mm-hmm. we feel it's still safe. It's just embarrassing. Anybody
actually, the FDA said they determined it was still safe.
Oh, they determined it. Oh, and
yes.
How did they determine it? Did they conduct any additional studies?
Not to the best of my knowledge.
So basically, what I'm saying is right. They feel, because how do you determine something that you don't determine?
They said that they, in fact, I can take some quotes from that letter. I've got it right in front of me.
Yeah.
They said, "We have evaluated the concerns conveyed to us in your letter. We have determined that Gardasil is not contaminated with HPV DNA and remains a safe and effective vaccine."
What study did they conduct to determine that?
If they conducted a study, it was an extremely rapid one. They received our letter on September 2nd and replied on September 23rd.
So they conducted a study within 3 weeks that determined there was no HPV DNA and it wasn't contaminated?
Listen, that's what it appears to be.
Do they have a time machine? I'm just asking. Well, anything else of note in that letter? Because, again, I'm not surprised by it, but it's just, I guess, another shocking revelation of the inadequacies of the Fear and Death Administration to protect the public.
They said, "Although not specifically conveyed in your most recent letter, we understand that you are concerned there may be a link between Gardasil and juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. Please be assured there is no scientific evidence linking juvenile rheumatoid arthritis and vaccination with Gardasil. FDA recently evaluated the results of a post-marketing study which included 189,629 females ages 9 through 26, 51% of whom were 9 to 15 years of age. The results of this study showed that there is no elevated risk for juvenile rheumatoid arthritis or rheumatoid arthritis associated with the use of Gardasil. We have also separately reviewed all VAERS reports of the juvenile rheumatoid arthritis after vaccination with Gardasil, and there is no evidence of unusual clinical patterns or high reporting rates."
Now, how do you respond to that, Norma?
I can respond quite well to that. As a matter of fact, our team conducted a study of the VAERS reports for a presentation that Leslie Carol Botha and Frieda Burrell made to the British Society for Ecological Medicine in London March of this year.
Mm-hmm.
At that point in time, HPV vaccines were responsible for 24% of all life-threatening events reported to VAERS during the period of time that it had been on the market. 26% of all emergency room visits, 25% of all hospitalizations, 33% of extended hospital stays, and 36% of all reported disabling events. Now, that may not sound too terribly bad, except for the fact that this was compared to the other 73 vaccines in the VAERS database.
Well, this had to be written in, like, some foreign language that the FDA could not read. It wasn't in English, was it?
Yes, it was, speak any foreign languages.
All right, so we have no explanation as to why the FDA came out and said, "There's no link to anything." Well, clearly we know why that is, but the corruption there is very high. The conflicts of interest run very deep. And Norma Erickson with SaneVax, I am so grateful that you'd be willing to come on and break this news story with me here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, streaming through Natural News Radio. And you know you guys and gals have an open door to this show. Whenever there's breaking news, we want to get it out as soon as possible.
Robert, thank you very much. The truth needs to get out to medical consumers. Enough is enough.
Yeah, I agree. Enough is enough. We don't need any more children harmed by this or any other. And in this case, more evidence that the FDA is up to no good here. Once again, I have the press release available at robertscottbell.com. Also, the link right back through to SaneVax. And I hope everybody will check it out. Send your support to Dr. Lee as well. And that about wraps up this hour. Next hour, we're going to be talking about some strange science coming out of Africa on contraception and AIDS. And we're going to show you how bizarre the medical community is in that realm and how much racism actually still exists within the medical realm there. So stand by. Lots more healing to go on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Norm Erickson, thank you so much once again. And as we wrap up this hour, I'll just remind you this, that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The information on the Robert Scott Bell Show has not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration and is not intended to prevent, cure, treat, or diagnose any disease. Nah, just kidding. As far as we're concerned, the FDA can kiss our
ass. Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
We have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just got the other hand.
Robert Scott Bell.
The average citizen, if they did what the TSA agents do, would be arrested.
Would you submit to one of these pat downs?
Not if I could avoid it. No, I mean, who would?
If you touch my junk, I'm going to have you arrested.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty. Robert Scott Bell.
This hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show, we are going to delve into very dangerous waters. I've got scheduled another guest. Hopefully we vetted him out better than some of the guests we've had recently. Charles Morrison, I believe. And there's a story out of Africa regarding prophylaxis, in other words, birth control methods that are increasing what they call HIV rates by a twofold, doubling them. And there is tinges or maybe overt racism in the medical community, the academician research community, in regards to how they're treating people in Africa. And we're going to have to hit that very hard today to explain some things that are very uncomfortable about the medical industrial complex. As if there weren't enough uncomfortable things to acknowledge about them. Now, racism too? Yes, that's right. But before that, I want to go into another aspect of what I call the culture of life, supporting life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, that's property, protecting property. And Obama basically declared an American citizen, however horrible he might be as a human, persona non grata to the point where he executed him. He sent a drone and said, it's okay, bomb them, and they're done with. No evidence provided other than to say, hey, he's a bad guy, he's part of Al-Qaeda. And I'm not a fan of Al-Qaeda, never have been, never will be. That isn't the point of the argument. Here I've been saying for years that the point is defending our country legitimately, constitutionally, strengthening our defenses rather than spreading ourselves all over the world and weakening our defenses to the point of, well, we become susceptible to anything at all, much like Americans that treat antibiotics as if they're candy, like I was raised that way. We destroy our ability to defend ourselves eventually by being on a permanent state of offense. And so I came out in favor of course, what Congressman and Dr. Ron Paul said about that hit. And now they're saying Obama could be impeached. Well, of course, they're exaggerating. Someone asked Ron Paul about the potential for impeachment, and he said, yeah, well, it could be looked at because the executive branch has now flouted the Constitution once again and said there is no judge, and there's no jury, there is no trial. except for the executive branch head, which would be the president, that's a judge, jury, and executioner now. Now, initially, most of the neoconservatives and conservative talk hosts came out against Ron Paul, and many of the so-called liberal Democratic worshipers of Obama also came out against Ron Paul, said he was being partisan for saying the bad things about Obama's strike on Al-Awlaki. But it turns out the integrity of one host, who I've been on his show many times over the years, his name is Michael Savage. He actually is the second most listened to, according to TalkStream Live now. He's shot up to the top there, right behind Rush, pretty impressively. And he came out, he said Friday he disagreed with Ron Paul. Monday he thought about it, and, well, let's hear from Michael Savage himself on this.
Yes. Ron Paul floats impeachment for drone kill of U.S. citizen. I agree with Ron Paul. Because if Obama can kill an American citizen based upon evidence but without a trial, he can kill you. He can kill anyone he doesn't like. And then he could say, see, I have a secret law here passed during the night. Ron Paul said Monday that President Obama's targeted killing of Al-Awlaki might be an impeachable offense. He said impeachment would be possible, but he wants to know more about how the administration flouted the law. Ron Paul called the killing a movement toward tyranny. 100% right. He's 100% right. He said, we've just totally disrespected the Constitution. He's the only one out there who puts Ron Paul at odds with his Republican rivals over foreign policy and the war on terror. In other words, the Republicans would say, good job. Good job. Michelle Bachmann, Mitt Romney, all said good job, supportive of the killing. No one else in the Republican field has spoken out against it. But I actually agree with Ron Paul and civil libertarians who criticize the targeted killing of an American citizen without any due process whatsoever. You wouldn't expect that from me, would you?
And that's to his credit. Michael Savage came out after coming out in one direction on Friday, rethinking it, and on Monday. Like I said, kudos to you, Michael. Well done. And he said it exactly as I had said it as well. That if you could target an American, however evil that American might be, for execution without a trial, who's next, right? I talked about the targeting of the Amish farmers. I talked about the targeting of the people at Rossum. I've talked about the targeting of dietary supplement manufacturers, sellers, retailers. And they already target them for economic execution. Economic execution, which it's not as devastating, I'll admit, as a physiological execution. But if you work your whole life to provide for your family, and then suddenly on a whim, the executive branch of government, whether it be under the guise of the FDA or the FTC, decides, well, we don't like what you're saying. We don't like what you're selling. It's not approved by us. We're targeting you for elimination. Maybe you'll still be alive. Maybe you'll be behind prison bars. Is this the America that our troops around the world are fighting to defend? Is this what we're so proud of? Is this what makes us the greatest country on planet Earth? I think not. I think this is making us more like the tyrannical nations for which we would normally be inclined to criticize, to ostracize, to isolate out there on the world stage. And Michael Savage acknowledged it right. And very few others have the courage to do so, even and especially when they come out in another direction. And that's why, despite sometimes people would criticize, why would you be on Savage's show? Listen, Savage, whatever you say about his politics, listen, we're all going to have disagreements on politics from time to time. But he's been the most, as far as the top talk guy in media for years now, been the most open to a message of health freedom. That has been most welcoming of my message of health, freedom, and liberty. When on all other levels and all other stages, no other conservative talk host, other than Jerry Doyle, of course, who we know is very independent-minded, has come anywhere near this message. The rest of them are completely worshipful of the state complex of regulating our healing right out of existence. And so when you start criticizing someone like Michael Savage because you don't agree with a lot of his politics, take a moment, step back, and realize the reach that this man has. Millions of Americans that would never be exposed to the message. You know, the honor that I have occasionally to be on that show or others, in addition to my own show right here on Natural News Radio, to get this message out to people who would never, ever hear it. There's nothing but gratitude for me, for Savage in that context. And of course, Jerry Doyle and others who have hosted me over the years, despite the risks to their jobs and livelihood in media. Because you know there are some things you just can't do. If you're a mainstream reporter, television or radio, you can't cover certain subjects. And I've covered the topic of AIDS and HIV and the scam that it is. I've covered the topic of vaccinations and questioning them. I've covered the topic of FDA-approved drugs and questioning them and pointing out how dangerous and deadly they are on all of those shows without being censored. And so there is a change that is going on. It's been going on for years. Maybe now we're just starting to notice it because they're also paying attention to the new media. And if they don't, of course, it's their loss because you're coming here. And again, there are people in talk radio, very few, but I'll acknowledge them when they do good. And Michael Savage, you've done good on that. Appreciate your integrity on that issue. Listen, we got a lot to do today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We've already done a lot, but we've got a lot more to do. I mentioned the issue of racism within the medical field. There's a horrific revelation that has to be brought out in terms of the HIV and AIDS debacle. And there's an article that just came out in the New York Times, which we don't necessarily believe everything the New York Times is writing, but it talks about how prophylactic use, in other words, a form of birth control, is increasing HIV rates by a factor of two, double, you know, twofold. And I wanted to get to the bottom of this. We'll have Liam Sheff on in a little while. I got him in the green room. But before that, we're going to go to one of the people mentioned in this article next on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Stay with us. Very tough subject matter we're going to hit, but we got to hit it hard and reveal some things that need to be revealed. And that's what we do here on the United States and World of Health Talk Radio every day, right here on Natural News Radio, as well as robertscottbell.com. Stay with us. Coming right back after this.
Why do you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show?
Bravery and integrity is amazing, and it's much needed.
I love, love, love your show.
I love the show, like all the things that you're doing with Mike Adams and all the writers at Natural News.
To be quite frank with you, I think the show is the biggest breath of fresh air we've found.
Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
We'll be right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
In our never-ending attempts to get to the bottom of the science behind any and all diseases, in fact, from time to time, there's new releases through the media. Sometimes they're press releases. Sometimes they are legitimate science. Most of the time, they're not so legitimate, but we always want to get to the bottom of it. And of course, no issue has been covered quite the same way than the issue of HIV and AIDS. And there's a new release that just came out as an article at the New York Times. All the news that's fit to print, or no, is it fit to change? They've been caught changing stories about the Wall Street sit-in while it was happening. So we've got to take with a grain of refined table salt with iodine added into it what is written here. But to get to the bottom of this story, and I'm going to mention the story in just a moment here, just want to set this up for you. With the whole realm of AIDS, you've heard me discuss with many guests over the years here, and even more recently, the controversy surrounding whether HIV even causes AIDS, whether AIDS is just merely renaming a whole host of immune challenges, immune deficiencies caused by any number of things, including nutritional deficiencies, toxin proficiencies, drug proficiencies, lack of hygiene, sanitation, etc. Very much focused primarily on the African continent. It seems like they're picking on the people from Africa. And this is since colonial times. And if you think those times have ended, we may have to learn a little bit more here in a modern context. Now, the story out of the New York Times I want to cover with you today is called Contraceptive Used in Africa May Double Risk of HIV. And I thought, weren't they all for contraception? Because it would prevent HIV transmission, whether you believe or buy into HIV being even there at all. We've covered it. But the question is, what are they really saying here? I thought we'd go right to the top on this story. And there's someone named Charles Morrison. He's Senior Director of Clinical Sciences at something called FHI360, a nonprofit organization whose work includes researching the intersection of family planning and HIV. I didn't realize there was an intersection. I will have to find out. Is he a traffic planner as well? But right now, let's welcome Don. Go ahead and open his mic. Charles Morrison joins us. I believe he's on the African continent. We've got a special connection. Sounds really clear when we tested it earlier. Charles Morrison, are you there?
Good evening, Robert. Thank you for having me on your show.
I'm glad that you took the time out of your busy schedule out there with this nonprofit. It sounds like you're working very diligently, hopefully to help people. But I was a bit confused by this story. It says contraception use in Africa will double the risk of HIV. What is the basis for this statement?
Robert, it is an apparently confusing story, not made the least confounding by which we have misunderstandings of HIV. The story would indicate to most people that using contraceptives would be a good thing. Number one, it reduces population, especially among the poor and ravaged of Africa, but also that it would stop HIV. Well, the question comes here that the contraception is injectable, thereby perhaps convincing people not also to use condoms. Therefore, the dark-skinned people will not be using condoms,
Charles,
but will be injected with
Mr. Morrison?
With a Depo-Provera-type drug, and thereby...
Did you say dark-skinned people?
I was only it's a technical term. I'm only describing complexion. Now, the major prospect...
I've not heard it described that way in a long time, Charles. Did you go to the University of Apartheid?
No, of course not. I studied at King's College, and I did do a residency in Joburg. The major,
South Africa,
yes. The major interest here, though, is, of course, to stop the overpopulation, but also to stop the spread of HIV and to be able to give important life-saving AIDS drugs, which do help to also stem population growth.
Excuse me. You're talking about life-saving AIDS drugs stemming population growth. Isn't that a contraindication? You want to save lives, but yet you're going to reduce population. You sound like Bill Gates now.
Well, I agree. Bill Gates is doing wonderful work. I enjoyed his seminar thoroughly, and I hope that the rest of the world's population stops this squeamishness about reducing the number of the dark-skinned and poor on the planet's surface.
Excuse me. Why do you keep referencing the color of somebody's skin here?
It's just an epidemiological fact. The people in Africa are darker skinned, and it's among them that we are targeting these HIV tests. Now, it's very important to understand, the questions come in the technical arena, whether giving the Depo-Provera or inducing a hormone makes it easier for the vagina or cervix to be infected with HIV.
Isn't the HIV tests themselves so cross-reactive and nonspecific that they'll test positive for people who are women who are pregnant?
Well, yes, there are certain factors that indicate cross-reactivity, and pregnancy is one of them, which is why we're very careful to select leftover blood samples from antenatal clinics from which to do the projections for most of Africa.
You're testing blood from pregnant women, and you're not surprised to see high incidences of the so-called positive reactivity on an HIV test. Now, you also mentioned, I was shocked. When you heard of contraception in terms of AIDS prevention, they always talk about the use of, for lack of a better term, the raincoat that they use, the condom. But in this case, you're talking about injecting women. Is that right? Injecting women,
yes,
with the contraception.
Yes, injecting the dark-skinned women of Africa with the Depo-Provera.
Stop with the skin already.
Well, it's just a clinical fact. They have a darker complexion. I'm not sure. This liberal squeamishness that you have about describing people as they are. You know, in my grandfather's time, my great-grandfather's time, it was well understood that the dark populations would rise up and through overpopulation and lack of hygiene.
Don, excuse me. Did we get this guy from a time machine? Charles, I'm just shocked at the way you're describing this. I realize you work for a nonprofit and you may think you're trying to do good work here, but I'm just shocked because if you're going to inject women with anything, particularly a contraception like Depo-Provera, these year-long 6 months, you're going to increase inflammation, you're going to increase immune reactivity, you're going to ensure a positive HIV test on a test that it will test positive for just about anything.
Well, that's a good point, and I believe we have to count that as a win-win in that situation.
A win-win?
Because at that point, we're not only able to curtail future reproduction, but we're able to give important life-saving AIDS drugs, which will also help to shorten lifespans.
Did you hear that? He said life-saving and shorten lifespans in the same sentence. Did you hear yourself, Charles? Can I call you Chuck?
You could call me Charles or Charlie. My friends sometimes call me
Charlie. I am stunned by what I'm hearing from you. And, of course, is this another non-governmental organization, one of the NGOs?
Yes, we are a non-government. We receive funding from various organizations, which you may have heard of, some of them and not others. There's a balance sheet somewhere on the website.
Well, I see here there's a link to the Council on Foreign Relations. The CFR, what do they have to do with this? Why is the CFR involved in something like this?
It's very important. This is a worldwide effort to curtail overpopulation. Now, I don't know what you've been taught in your liberal institutions. You can either be cagey or be honest. There are too many people breeding in certain countries for the infrastructure.
It's not
as though they have clean water and sewage systems.
Well, that's the point, Charles. Why not promote that? You know, the population of Africa, when they said it was going to be decimated by this so-called HIV/AIDS epidemic, the population of Africa has doubled since that time.
Yes, we've been doing everything we can about that, but it's difficult. We actually need more money. The condoms, the darker-skinned people are sometimes reluctant to use the condoms as we're telling them to. In fact, they laugh about it, and they say that it's simply no good. Now, of course, this is understood from our own students in university. They don't like to use them, and so we just put our little girls on pills. But it's more difficult to do this to the
I am shocked
darker
by what
races I,
I
mean, of the
planet. Excuse me. You're like coming out of a previous time. Do you know apartheid is over? You're talking about these people like they're less than human in Africa. What kind of academician are you that you – where did you go to – you went to school in South Africa?
I'm well educated in my field. I have many plaudits. I assure you I can show you my pedigree if it's something you need to see. I'm not here to discuss that. I'm not sure what your questioning is about. Again, I'll put it to you simply. You can either be squeamish about this or be honest and get down to brass tacks. Too many people, and we've got to do something about
it. Well, Charles, if we're honest about this, what you're going to do what you're going to do is actually stimulate more positive tests on this non-specific cross-reactive antibody. Don, can you? We need to screen these professors and people a little bit better. We're getting some unusual folks coming on here. Can you cut his mic? Is he off?
Yeah.
Is he offline?
No, he's gone.
I cannot believe that was the real Charles Morrison, Don. There is no way that no, I don't think that was the real guy. We're gonna have to vet these people out a little bit better. But when we come back from this break, I'm gonna ask my friend, the conspiracy realist Liam Sheff, to join me to kind of parse this and understand what's going on in academia. He spent a lot of time observing these. I don't know. I hesitate to call them humans. You know, that they treat other people the way this Charles guy did. I want to get a sense of this. Is this normal coming out of academia? Is this the view of people in Africa? Does this exist? Are we really dealing with this in the 21st century? We're going to find out about that, because we're going to find out that AIDS, in fact, as it's constructed today, is quite racist, in fact, as evidenced by that interview we just had. Apologize, didn't mean to offend anybody with that, but we've got to parse this like nowhere else in media. That's why you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show. We can go places nowhere else, nobody else can go to. So I appreciate you being here with me. All the links are up at robertscottbell.com, including to this New York Times article that is outrageous, wanting to inject women in Africa. And, of course, will precipitate almost automatically a so-called positive HIV test, even though we know here, and you and the Robert Scott Bell Show audience know clearly from listening to all of the interviews I've done over the years and within even the last few weeks, that the HIV test is fraught with, it is just not what they say it is. And I would call for its banning, because it's a racist test. In fact, the way they throw the net around the people of Africa, the poorest people on the planet. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break here. Come right back. We'll discuss this intelligently and intelligibly with Liam Sheff after this. Stay with me.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world, and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs, and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only 5-element saliva test in the world, used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my 5-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us. 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert
Ryan. He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's a brave and a decent man. He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Robert Scott Bell Show.
I am still shocked from that interview we just conducted with this Charles Morrison. Again, I don't think it was the real guy. Liam Sheff was standing by in the green room. Liam, could you hear? Did they pipe in the audio for you from that interview?
Yeah, I was eating bagels, but yeah, I was.
Organic sprouted bagels, sprouted, by the way, absolutely.
Yeah, very much like that. I was relieved. You know, I've been researching this for so many years, and I was relieved that somebody just came out and said what's subtextual to all of this all the time. I mean, I've got study after study saying...
I was horrified listening to
that. I bet.
It just turned my insides out. Is this guy... I mean, he was serious about the way he looked at these people.
Well, I guess you're horrified, but I guess from my point of view, I'm relieved because at least he was telling the truth, and I was glad he said you can either be, he kept using a term, squeamish, I guess, or
squeamish,
you
liberal, whatever's, but what did you think he was being honest about? That's what I want to understand here.
Well, that's their job. Look, that's the HIV/AIDS paradigm. We go to foreign countries where people are poor and don't have anything. And we give them tests that come up positive for everything, and then we drug them. And it's the same as the old Malthusian dialectic about how the... Well, he just kept saying it. The darker races are going to over... I mean,
this is a view that's supposed to be in the past, right? And we're looking at scientific academicians, the elite, whether they be Harvard educated, whether they be the Rhodes Scholar. I don't know. In England, what are they doing? Or South Africa. They really look at they look at people as everybody's beneath them.
Well... It reminds me of a line. Did you ever see My Favorite Year with Peter O'Toole?
Yes, yes.
It's a great, great movie about the writers, essentially about the writers for the it was the Sid Caesar show.
So right.
Mel
yes.
Brooks and Larry Gelbart and Sid Caesar and Carl Reiner.
Mm-hmm.
Not Rob Reiner, but Carl.
Carl Reiner, the dad. Yes.
And young Woody Allen before he became a total pervert. And you got all these great writers, right? And so the movie My Favorite Year is about that writers' room. There's a scene where Alan Swan, who's sort of an Errol Flynn, a washed-up guy who was in the silent era, maybe the early talkies, is on the show as a guest, and he ends up over a balcony hanging by a rope in this great bit of vaudeville. And these two New York socialites are sitting on the balcony above drinking, and one of them drinks, and he looks down and he says, "I think Alan Swan is beneath us." And the other guy says, "Alan Swan the actor?" He goes, "Of course he's beneath us. He's an actor."
Right.
So, yes, everybody's beneath these guys. Because why? Because they have because everybody to them is a non-person or an item or a bit of a machine.
But particularly uncomfortable was the racial element. I know we're gonna talk a lot about this on the Robert Scott Bell Show over time, because that's one thing that's always bothered me. I grew up in a fairly colorblind, let's say, family. You know, we were just totally non-traditional in that context. But so many of my friends, and I grew up a lot in the American South, did not have that. They had parents that still had tinges of the so-called racism. Now, racism, we talk about it, let's say, strict definition, the inherent belief in the genetic superiority of one group or, one race over another. I don't believe that everybody that doesn't like another color is racist, truly. Some of them are prejudiced. They just don't like them, but they don't look at it from a superiority, inferiority. But it seems like in academia, the way they look at Africa, they've colonized Africa, whether it be the British or whether it be the Dutch or whether it be the Belgians. I mean, they've been colonized for, I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of centuries, in fact.
Right. Well, again, I said I was kind of relieved about this, not because I think it's a good thing, but because I like it when people speak their truth, whether it's true, it's at least their truth, and they don't hide it. So look, I've been reading this stuff in the medical literature for 10 years now. Listen to this. This is talking about HIV testing in where? Africa, Southeast Asia. They're talking about the rapid tests. The test error rate won't matter much in areas of a high prevalence of HIV, because in all probability, the people in Africa, in India, testing false positive will have the disease. What? The people testing false positive or testing negative will have the disease? But if the same there's already a difference now between the test result and the actual disease of immune deficiency. Immune deficiency is real enough. The test results are irrelevant. They're telling you that. But if the same test was performed, this is not made up. This is the journal AIDS Alert from 1998 when the real push into Africa was happening. If the same test that can't be, you know, that doesn't matter what the result is in Africa, was performed on 1,000 white, affluent, suburban housewives,
yes,
a low prevalence population, in all likelihood, all positive results will be false, and the positive predictive values plummet to zero. Positive predictive value, the value of the test, plummets to zero. All positive results, positive, but no, false. Why? White, suburban, affluent housewives. This is the language of the inside of the AIDS Beltway. They look at certain groups to test, right?
Yes.
And
they target them.
They target them.
They target them like that that phony Charlie Morrison targeted them for elimination. He talked about population reduction. He was actually being truthful about those things.
I think you were getting punked. It's just a tough one. I don't know who got on the line. I just don't think that was...
Well, but I think the belief system of those people, I think he was revealing a very genuine, albeit horrible, belief system that many people carry about those in Africa or otherwise. You said even in Asia, otherwise, where they would say, okay, a white suburban housewife, upper middle class, you test positive, that's a false positive. You live in the inner city of America, you happen to be black, African-American, however you want to call it, or you are in Africa, then the false positive, no such thing as a false positive. It's automatic. You got to get on these drugs or you're going to end up sick and dead.
Not a new thought form. Listen to this. This is from one of the papal bulls. It was written law. The Pope was the vicar of Jesus Christ on earth. He was essentially a lawyer for eternity, and he told people what was true. So this is the Pope granting rights, I believe, to Portugal. Listen to this. We, therefore, weighing all and singular the premises with due meditation, and nothing that since we had formerly by other letters of ours granted among other things free and ample faculty, the aforesaid King Alfonso, don't worry about that, to invade, search out, capture, vanquish, and subdue all Saracens, Muslims, dark-skinned people, and pagans whatsoever, and all other enemies of Christ wheresoever placed, and the kingdoms, dukedoms, principalities, dominions, possessions, and all movable and immovable goods whatsoever held and possessed by them. Doesn't that sound like legal writ?
Yeah.
I mean, this is from the 1500s. And to reduce their persons to perpetual slavery. This is the legal Roman document from the Pope relating to the conquest of... Now, if this... this was 400 years ago, right? So they're saying... You can have all their stuff and reduce them because they're not like you to perpetual slavery. What about this? George Washington, writing to one of his generals out on the front, he's talking about the Indians and the rights of the Indians. He says, war is more expensive than undermining their rights through the manipulations afforded through commerce. Taking their country from the Indians, writes Washington, is like driving the wild beasts of the forest, which will return as soon as the pursuit is at an end and fall perhaps on those that are left there. Listen to this. The savage as the wolf, when the gradual extension of our settlements will as certainly cause the savage as the wolf, they're the same, wild animals, to retire, both being beasts of prey, though they differ in shape. All of the stuff that they have, he writes, George Washington, father of our country, can be had by purchase at less expense and without bloodshed. In other words, if you can't kill them all, buy them out, reduce them to poverty one way. The Pope said, enslave them. The HIV guys say, test them, drug them, condomize them.
What you're saying is that, of course, not only is this not new, which we recognize throughout history these things have happened, but it's not gone away. It's now evolved, if you will, or devolved into the scientific realm or the realm of scientism, the new church with the new vicar, or so to speak, particularly in the AIDS religion, if you will, or cult, that they now are utilizing so-called biological, immunological, and I wouldn't call it science, I almost say gobbledygook, but that would be a compliment.
Mysticism.
Mysticism is the right word John Rappaport used to use as well. And in this way, they're basically playing out things that have been going on for centuries through the scientific mysticism.
It's a millennial 2 millennial, 3 millennial, quattro, 8 millennial project. Even if you look in the Old Testament, the Lord Yahweh granted the rights of his children, the Israelites, to kill all tribes that weren't like them. Every religion says the same thing, which is the problem with being a religious literalist. You always run into that problem. We're a tribal species. We identify ourselves tribally, and if we take it too far, we start thinking that some other people, we have the right to kill them or not breed with them or reduce their numbers. And the Old Testament is full of this. Don't breed with those people. If you do, we'll kill you. Don't lay with these people. It's Leviticus.
Sure.
All these ancient stories.
Well, if we take it and understand AIDS, what it is, it's, again, I say this, a racist construct. And I don't use that term lightly, because as I said, I think people throw the R word out there just to kind of deflect from having to engage in an honest and intelligent debate on certain issues, whether it be welfare, warfare, other things like that. But legitimately here, we do see the so-called scientific, I would call them the pseudo-scientific community, particularly in AIDS, but that's not exclusive to that, but very much played out through the old AIDS mysticism, are playing out a very racially motivated, racial worldview that, we can, in fact, enslave people, we can eradicate people, we can stop them from breeding, as the language is in there, and it's horrific. That's why I say I was really, my stomach is churning. I cover these issues. I've talked to Mike Adams about it. The problem we have is that if we don't think that way, it's hard for us to think other humans think that way. And so we look at the government and say, well, it's benign, because they wouldn't do this kind of evil stuff, right? They wouldn't enslave people. They wouldn't eradicate. They wouldn't just drop bombs on people. They wouldn't just infect them with vaccines, would they? Of course, you or I would not do that. But that doesn't mean that every human on planet Earth thinks the same way, has the same values we have. And it is even true throughout history that similar races have enslaved similar races. It isn't always about the difference in skin color, too.
Oh, yeah. The word slave comes from the word Slav.
So
the Romans were, what, making servants, perpetual slaves, out of the Eastern Europeans that they would conquer. They were from our point of view today, they're the same people.
Yeah, exactly. So slavery in a modern context has been looked in American history as clearly a racial issue. But in the context of historically, slavery wasn't always about that. And in fact, in many cases, the same color people would sell out the same color people to the new slave owners.
Happened in Africa all the time. Yeah. Even Shaka, who, king of the Zulus, who, I don't know, made a confederation out of warring tribes in the south of Africa, did so by force, hook or crook. He killed a lot of people and forced them to bow before him and become his servant, so he was their king. Attila did it all across the steppe. You were either with him or you were dead. It's not skin color that determines human nature. It's the fact that we're all the same species. And honestly, we have some pretty dark characteristics.
Yeah.
We have some pretty macabre characteristics, to put it that way.
Yeah, well, exactly. And, I think the overemphasis on pigmentation has always disturbed me because, like I said, is that who we are? Is that external shell that we carry about while we're on planet Earth really who we are? Of course, the over-identification with a group, whether it be, just name the group, I don't care. That's, to me, it's collectivism. And I understand culturalism. I understand cultures and having a common culture. But significantly throwing that into things like, visual, you have more pigmentation than I am pigmentally challenged, Liam.
Right.
My wife is even more pigmentally challenged than I am.
Right.
But I don't hold that against her.
No, I'd love to be a little more tan friendly myself. I don't know what to do or say about that. We align very much on skin color and religion all around the world until we decide not to. But it's just so deeply bred into us as a thought form. It takes so much energy to get over these deeply embedded, I don't know what, cultural identities. I don't know that they're real. I don't know that the American culture, with its emphasis on sort of shallowness and video games and terrible, terrible music in the modern area is really the antidote to other kinds of identity, and other kinds of identity have value. There's a value in having a native identity to the place that you're from.
Yeah.
I suppose the real issue comes in thinking that you're the special ones, that you're the chosen ones. That's the problem.
Well, what do you do with that if you have that information? Well, I think, again, moving from collectivism back to understanding our individual identity and appreciating everyone else's, if I can say it that way, or each individual's identity, inside, outside, however it is. And I look to go further than that. I know these discussions can sometimes be uncomfortable, even for me, as I said, listening to the reality, even from a phony, whoever that guy was, revealing some darkness within the human nature of the ability to treat people this way. Listen, I'm going to take a break here. When we come back, Liam Sheff and I are going to talk a little bit more about the AIDS issue, because it turns out that Medicaid may be a slush fund for the manufacturers of AIDS drugs. That's coming up after this on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Stay with us.
Giving the pharmaceutical industry cardiac arrest.
Clear.
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here, inviting you to check out the Natural News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it, because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
In the health world through the power of radio, it's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Liam, I really appreciate the way we can elevate the discussion and really tackle some very difficult, uncomfortable issues in a very rational, logical, sometimes, yes, emotional way, because I get a little hot under the collar on certain subjects here on the air. I can't help it, but it's sort of therapy for me. We've talked a little bit off the air about that. It's like, you know, you appear patient and tolerant. It's like, well, if I didn't have this venting 2 hours a day, 6 days a week, I might be an angry young man. And it's not to say that I don't get angry and outraged at a lot of injustice, so to speak, but it certainly helps to, you know, have the catharsis to be able to talk about these things and reflect upon them in this way. So I'm greatly appreciative of your willingness to tackle these tough issues with me.
Oh, I'm an equal opportunity offender.
Yes, absolutely. We do that here. Now, the concept of collectivism, individualism, we talk about the superficiality of the human species sometimes. Oh, my goodness, you have more pigment than me. I don't like you, right? What is that? Why is that? Why would we just look at somebody and go, well, your skin's a little different color than mine. Your eye color is not what I like, you know, immediately, without knowing a person at all. You don't know what's inside. You know, and I realize that, again, a lot of this is generational. Kids learn to view the world that way because their parents have. And I'm seeing a lot of changes because a lot of the kids today just don't have that same thing. There's been a lot of interaction with cultures and people. The travel has happened. I traveled around the world as a young person and meeting people from all continents. And, you know, I raised my kids differently. And, you know, even when my kids started, my son, when he first went to school, we didn't want to send him to a government school. We save our money and we put him in a little Montessori program. And the first one we were in, it was in an area where we were the only pig mentally challenged family. In fact, he was the only pig mentally challenged child. He was Casper the Friendly Ghost. And, you know, it was, they were all kids. They didn't care. And he didn't care. We didn't. It didn't faze us at all. And he was like, oh, yeah. It was kind of cool for him being the only one because I think he got a little bit of special attention because of it. But it just was a different framework. We try to teach. These are human. You're human. You know, we say, how do we say this? We're on the same planet. It's all the human race kind of thing.
We're all the same species.
Species, thank you.
I think that's probably what makes it the most difficult. I think nobody... I was never in a class where somebody just asked this very elementary and necessary question. What is the nature of our species? We're told that animals all have a particular nature. They have predictable habits, etc. So I spent a lot of my, a lot of the last 10 years, especially my early 30s, thinking about what is the nature of our species. And there are a number of characteristics which you can actually catalog. We're pugnacious. In other words, we like to fight. We're competitive. There's no doubt about that. We're cooperative, but often cooperative in the sense of being competitive with another group. But still, we are cooperative. We're creative, but we're creatures of the imagination. We're sexually ready. A great historian called Will Durant compiled a few of these, and people have definitely asked this question, but it was never asked in school. But what else are we? We are tribal. We are hierarchical. We align in hierarchical tribes. We allow the appointment of some group of experts to tell us how to live, and we call those politicians, and tell us what the meaning of things are. We call those priests. Now we call them scientists. So we're always aligning one way or the other. And I think that the fastest way that we align with people, whether we want to, whether we mean to or not, is whether they look like us. It's just something deeply bred in because probably we were isolated for a long time as we grew up on Mother Earth, and we sort of developed for a long time. We saw, you know, and you remember this maybe from the 70s.
Yeah.
We, you know, people who look a lot alike to other people can find any number of differences among themselves to hate each other.
Oh, sure.
The Italians hated the Polish, hated the German. Oh,
it's,
boy.
It's the star-bellied sneeches all over again, right? Do it every generation. You know, I'd like to see that it's melting away. Of course, it may not happen until the aliens do come down from another planet. And so, oh, yeah, we are the human race. Gather together. It doesn't matter what color we are, right? It always takes that threat from abroad. Although, as I said, we are capable of certainly choosing or out-creating that kind of consciousness.
Yeah, women will get you. Oh, threat from abroad. I misunderstood.
Excuse me, Liam. Now, on to the Medicaid issue, because I don't want to stray too far away from this AIDS thing, because given people understanding here that Medicaid, when we talk about the left screaming for the poor, help the poor, help the poor, Medicaid, don't talk about anything that would help undo Medicaid. And we find out that in reality, it is a slush fund for the manufacturers of AIDS drugs. This is the transfer of wealth from the taxpayers to the manufacturers of AIDS medications.
Right. There's an article on Think Progress. .org.
Mm-hmm.
Medicaid is the largest source of coverage for people with HIV. By the way, there are no people with HIV. There are people who have tested HIV positive, which is a false diagnosis. There are certainly people with immune deficiency, people with AIDS, but there aren't people with HIV. The people with HIV tests, and they should return those tests to their doctors forthwith. Turn around, walk into your doctor, say no thanks. We're going to have on a special guest soon a woman who was diagnosed positive and then negative. Really, I think entirely to do with the fact that she's a PhD.
Yes.
She argued a little bit.
Right.
And that the doctor knew her and didn't think she was fitting
the description of who we say. Right. So you can argue your way out of an HIV positive result.
I think that that's what happened. And she'll give you her version of the
fascinating
story. Fascinating. This article says Medicaid is estimated to be the single largest source of coverage for people with HIV in the U.S. and to account for more than half of all spending. More than half of all spending on HIV care by the federal government. So something that you don't have a choice but to pay into covers at least half of the most expensive set of drugs on the planet.
Yeah, we're talking, what, $1,000 a month? That's minimum.
You can spend $20,000 a month on these crap drugs.
Right. And they're all chemotoxic.
Oh yeah. So if you have the insurance, you can spend $500 a month.
And if you can't afford that, just drink the water because it's all processed right through.
Oh God.
I know.
So this is what's happening. So liberals say, "Oh, we need government health to take care of everybody." I was at somebody's house the other day, and a guy, very nice guy, said we should build houses for everybody, and everybody should get a house. And I thought, Well, we should definitely build the houses in our community if the community wants to do that, and communities should be empowered to do that without help from the federal government. And if people want to participate, they should participate because it's a wonderful thing to do, and we should empower the churches and the spiritual religious organizations to do what they used to do,
yes,
which was to help the poor and the hungry, and get the government out of the business of doing that, to echo the voice of Ron Paul, who said so in the debate. I agree with him.
Yes.
And we should get the pharmaceutical companies out of health care so that we don't have to pay $500 a month for insurance that we won't use,
mm-hmm.
so that if we stub our toe, we can get the new drug that stops our toe from ever getting stubbed again. What?
Yeah.
How does it work? It never ends.
It binds you so you cannot move. Now, in this case, with this discussion, with this probably crunchy granola, sweet-eating kind of guy, did he understand what you're saying, or was he offended?
Oh, I didn't argue.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
No, I just went, oh. You know, but I'm thinking, should the government build houses for everybody, or should local communities build houses for their local communities? Or should we simply build houses locally without letting the thing be re-engineered by a totally corrupt market valuation system?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the housing market in Florida, where I'm visiting, is now been reduced by half from the year before, where it was reduced by half from the year before, because they're now valuating all the things that were foreclosed upon along with all the things that weren't. So if you sold a house for $400, it's now worth $200. If you sold it for $200, it's now worth $100. That's a big, and I'm talking hundreds of thousands. That's a big, so we've got corruption. I want to bring it back to, not that locals can't be corrupted,
sure,
but it can be fought on the local level. It can, well,
there's more
fought.
Accountability. The more local it is, the more you have to interface or interact with your community, and you're more accountable to that. Right now, with the unseen, faceless, and toxic bureaucracy through Medicaid, as we mentioned here, basically funding through taxpayer or the printing or the borrowing from China, however it is, matters not. It enslaves the people, and then it only drugs those who do not need drugs. They have no drug deficiency. If they're immunocompromised, they need nutrition. They need detoxification. Need we say this again and again and again? And I wish our liberal friends would get their head out of the aspirin bottle and start seeing that the government in bed with Big Pharma, and even if it wasn't in bed with Big Pharma, they don't know how to take care of themselves. We can take care of each other if they would get out of the way. I mean, there are literally obstructions. There are laws against helping people,
right?
Giving away, building a house for somebody if you wanted to. You're prevented from doing the charity that once was commonplace in America.
And that's the point. We've handed it all over to some idea of a beneficent big brother. Well, big brother's never
yeah.
your friend. We have forgotten the lessons of history, forgotten the lessons of recent history. Mr. Orwell wrote his book in 48 and inverted the numbers to 84, and he was exactly correct. And I guess it was probably during the Reagan Revolution that the so-called small government guy
yeah.
created the biggest government that anybody had ever seen. And then his the guy who followed him, wouldn't be predecessor, antecedent, his VP, former head of the CIA.
Oh, the God. Shrubbery, the first shrubbery. Shrubbery one.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a big shrub.
They
cast a long shadow over the American heartland and the coasts, too. The Bush came in, and then the Clinton for 8 years, and Clinton was supposed to be liberal, but what did he enact? NAFTA and GATT. In other words, you don't need to work here anymore. We'll get the Southeast Asians to build your stuff. Aren't you happy? And the market celebrated for about 10 years.
Yeah, well, wasn't it Big Ear Ross Perot kind of warned us about that sucking sound from Mexico? You know, all the jobs would be leaving. And so it wasn't like it was an unknown commodity. These things were discussed and argued and debated. And yet the so-called, you know, left Democrat ended up sending those jobs overseas. Again, we're equal opportunity offenders because we're not in favor of either of these parties per se. We look at individuals. What are their qualities? What are their, what is their mission statement? How do they live their lives to make these decisions or judgments based on that, as opposed to superficial responses or knee-jerk reactions?
And such is the cultural dialogue, or lack thereof, on the news, that Clinton was praised for being bipartisan, right? So if one side has a terrible idea and the other side has a terrible idea, and they compromise and they create an equally terrible idea, they're good.
It's bipartisan terror.
Yeah, I'm really tired of being told how people have to compromise, and they really don't have to compromise in Congress. Just come forward with a good idea and tell people to wait until they get it and get in line and not get in your way.
Mm-hmm.
You don't all have to be on the same page. God help us when they are.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're going to continue this discussion likely tomorrow, and it'll get somewhat uncomfortable at times when we cover these issues, but I don't hear it being discussed in this way. Other than it's tainted and painted with a so-called, you're a Republican, or you're a Democrat, or you're a liberal, or you're, you know, we reference these terms sometimes just to kind of give some form of reflection out there as people understand it, but recognize that any individual could have beliefs that could fall into any of those realms at any given moment or time. So they're just reference points for us to communicate them. If we've gone too far today, I'd like to hear from you. If we haven't gone far enough, I'd like to hear from you at 866-939-BELL. Let us know, 866-939-2355, robertscottbell.com. Of course, you're listening through naturalnewsradio.com. If you haven't already, please enter your email address there, and we'll give you the updates every day, or you can go to the links. I've got links up as well to liamsheff.com and reducetheburden.org. Lots of great things to review, read about. If you're just now catching up, I realize some of you are trying to catch up with the live show every day, but then you're working on things from May and June. You'll get there. Keep doing it. It's going to make a positive difference in your life. That's what we're intent on doing. Should you open your hearts, minds, and etc. To information that is not conflicted with pharmaceutical interests or any others, except those interests that are related to health, freedom, and liberty. Liam, thank you so much again for helping me through this one. This was a tough one.
Hey, it was fun.
All right. We got to have fun. If we're not doing it fun-wise, we're not doing it right. That's what we say here. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show on Natural News Radio, and of course, archives are available for you. Thank you as well to Prepper Podcast Network for replaying broadcasts every day as well. And of course, we'll be back tomorrow with more powerful healing than anywhere else in media. In the meantime, remember this, that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.